Bruce Ogg, a United Methodist bishop in West Ohio, shares that years ago, when I was just beginning my pastoral ministry, I made my first spiritual retreat at a place called Harmony Hills, which was located at a Benedictine convent in Watertown, South Dakota. When I arrived at the center, I discovered that one of the sisters was assigned to me to be my host. She had a great sense of humor, was gracious, and she checked in on me several times a day. On the third day, she invited me to participate in the community's prayer life, which was comprised of getting up and praying in the early morning, before lunch, late afternoon, and the evening as well. When Sister asked how my retreat was going and if the community prayers were helpful, I replied, "I'm enjoying the prayer times very much, but I find them somewhat disruptive to my schedule." "I've been wondering how you sisters get anything done around here, given that you just start doing something, then the bells ring calling you to prayer." I could see the humor dance in her eyes as she spoke. "That's the problem with you Protestants. You think doing God's work is keeping busy. We believe doing God's work is being attentive to God." I've known some of those sisters. And last week I spent some time reflecting with you on an aspect of prayer that I think many Christians have yet to fully experience. And that is an aspect of prayer of being more fully open to the Holy Spirit's presence in our prayer life. Last week I reflected with you on an earlier part of this lesson in Romans, where I read and we reflected on the reality that the Holy Spirit can pray within us with groans that are too deep for words, with yearnings and sighs, especially in the places that we're weak. And the Holy Spirit can pray with us and through us in very powerful ways, and in ways that you and I need to invite the Spirit to do that. And today, I'd like to explore another aspect of prayer that I believe many of us aren't aware of, and that part of prayer actually involves listening to God and being attentive to God. In just a few moments, you and I will engage in a form of prayer called petitionary prayer. We will lift up our petitions before God. And that is a very normal and regular and ancient way of prayer. There are other forms of prayer, prayer of intercession, prayer of thanksgiving, just all kinds of different ways to pray. But one of the things I want to bring before us today is that one of the ways that you and I can pray is simply by being attentive to God and being still. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone and there was a conversation going on, but you weren't able to get a word in edgewise? I'm not the only person who's had that experience. I'm not going to ask for any names. There is no need to glance either way in the church today or whatever. But obviously, we've all had that experience. And it's frustrating, isn't it? I mean, they might be even sharing about something that you want to engage in, and you go to say something, and you can't get a word in edgewise. And you just kind of nod your head, It's 5 minutes later, yes. Guess what? That's not really a conversation. That's a monologue. It's not a conversation. And that's the way our prayer life with God can be sometimes. We are often letting God know what our needs are. We are often lifting up our petitions before God. And as soon as we do that, amen, we go out and we're busy about our day. And we don't give God a chance to speak to us. And some of you might be wondering, well, Father Joe, how do I do that? It's very simple. Don't say anything and just sit there and listen. Psalm 46 says very clearly, "Be still and know that I am God." It's a directive. Be still and know that I'm God. And one of the things I want you and I to realize is that part of prayer is actually being attentive to God. It's being still and knowing that He is God. It's not about you and I saying anything at that point. It's not asking God for more things or what we want. It's simply taking a moment to be still in His presence and enjoying His presence. But Father Joe, I don't hear anything. all these thoughts begin to gather in my mind. It's probably just incredibly boring for me to do that. Well, stay with it. Stick with it. And be open to God being present to you in a different way. Another way in which you and I can be attentive to God is simply by reading His Word and then meditating upon what we've just read. We can also be attentive to God by listening to what God might be speaking to us through other people. I would encourage you especially to listen to people who you don't think really have anything of import to say to you, and also especially listen to someone who is saying something to you that you really don't want to hear. At times, that is often God speaking through them to you, even though you don't want to hear it. And so those are ways in which you and I can be attentive to God and listening to what God has to speak to us. And you and I think, will be very surprised if we begin to adopt this aspect of prayer into our lives, how much God has to say to you and me. In fact, I would submit to you that God is speaking to us more often than we realize. It's just we're not listening. We're not listening to Him and what He has to say to us. Be attentive to God. Attentive means giving care or attention to someone. It means listening or watching carefully with concentration. It means to behave towards someone in a way that shows special regard or affection. And so again, as you and I seek to be attentive to God and listen to God and give God a chance, a space in our life of prayer to speak to us and just be present to us in ways that are different for us, we are practicing, if you will, the presence of God and being attentive to Him. I believe the Apostle Paul was being very attentive to God in what he shared with us today in Romans. It took someone being attentive to God and being a person of faith to be able to share such a revelation today that you and I have in Romans 8. And I invite you to turn with me in your bulletin today to that particular scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. This is a tremendous statement of faith. I don't know about you, but as I've taken time to reflect just upon this one verse, I've often thought to myself, how can this be? This makes absolutely no sense, because certainly in my life, there have been things that have happened that it's just no way that's going to work for good. It's not going to happen. I just don't like it. It doesn't make sense in my life, or it doesn't make sense in somebody else's life. How in the world can you cause that, God, to work for the good? And so you see, I believe that Paul received a revelation. I believe Paul was being attentive to God, and God revealed to him by the power of the Holy Spirit that all things will work together for the good for those who love me and are called according to my purposes. Notice here it says all things work together for good. It doesn't say that God causes all things. Let me just share with you today that God has no part of evil. It says God is good, God is holy. Evil has no part in Him. It is separate from Him. Also, God is not a part of our sin. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is choosing to be disobedient to God. It's choosing to go in the opposite direction of God. So when you and I are engaged in sin, we are not walking with God. That's why we have to come back to God and repent of our sin, that our fellowship with God might be restored. So God is not a part of our sin. So again, one of the things that you and I need to remember is that God is not causing all things. When people say to you, well, how could God cause that horrible thing that happened in Pakistan? And why is God a part of this and God a part of that? Well, you know what? God isn't causing all that stuff. There are evil people in, at times, a very evil world who are choosing to do incredibly evil things. And God's heart is broken over it. God, if you will, cries tears over the human beings that are abused and killed and maimed because of people's hatred for one another. And it is evil. And God has no part of it. So hear that today. And I hope you have the courage when one of your neighbors or some stranger says to you, how could God do something like that? Have the courage to say to them, God was not a part of that. God was not a part of that. God's heart is broken about that. And God wants to bring love and peace and healing into that. hear that today. But what it says in this scripture is that all things work together for the good, that ultimately God can cause all things to work for the good through his providence and through his awesomeness. Gain and loss, triumph and failure, the sufferings that you and I go through as human beings. God can take all of that and ultimately work it for the good. Things that have been darkness in your life, things that have been great triumphs, things that have been struggles for you, as well as successes. God can take all of those things that have been a part of your life, some of the most damaging things, and ultimately, in his own incredible way, work them for good. And I believe part of this involves faith and trust on our parts. This, again, is an insight. It is part of being attentive to God. It is part of believing in faith that God can do this. And it's a trust, it's a belief that God is about weaving the tapestry of our lives. You ever seen a nice work of art, is what I call it, in terms of like needlepoint or something like that? So beautiful what some people can do in the stitching that they do and the knitting that they do. And you know, when you look at the front of what they've made, it's gorgeous, it's beautiful. Do not ask me to do something like that because I would not be able to. I would be a blood donor at that point, not a needle pointer. But you know, when you look at the front of that, it is just beautiful. Some of it, it's like a work of art. It's a beautiful tapestry. But if you look at the back of it, what you see are all of these threads going all in different places, and it doesn't make any sense in a way. You look at the back of it, it's confusing. And that's the way our lives are. See, you and me are often looking at the back of the tapestry. We see the thread of struggle. We see the thread of darkness. We see the thread of success and joy. We see the valley and maybe the mountaintop. And all we see are all these different threads, and they don't make any sense to us, and we don't know how they're going to come together. And what God is doing is he is knitting together a beautiful tapestry called your life that one day you will see and understand why he put that stitch in there that he did, and why he put that there, and why this happened, and why that happened. Because he was working all things together for your good, ultimately. Humility, brokenness, submission, patience, all of those words we love to say and experience and feel and go through are all part of the human experience. And what our Father wants to bring us through is the fullness of a human experience, the successes and the failures, the brokenness and the fulfillment, the joys and the struggles, that we might come to the end of our race with a sense of fullness and completion, having drunk fully of the cup of life, and even more fully have experienced the participation of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in every dimension of our lives. I mean, let's be honest. There's some things you and I would never want to go through again. But yet, as we look back on them, they were crucibles. They were furnaces that very much needed to be a part of our lives and have formed us and shaped us and made us who we are at this point. All things, we know that all things work together for good. A couple qualifiers here. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. As you look at the book of Romans, there are two great themes that Paul has written throughout this book. One of the themes is the theme of salvation, and the other theme is the theme of sanctification. And again, in the tapestry that Paul is working in this reading to Romans, he weaves these two themes in this verse in Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are saved, for those who have surrendered to the Lord Jesus, for those who are connected to him and are walking in a saving faith relationship with the Lord, and for those who are called according to his purposes. His purpose in your life and my life is holiness, purity, sanctification, to be made like him. And guess what? He is so committed to that for you, me and for you, that he is willing to take us through anything to get us there. I remember this poster that I saw when I was going through college, and it showed the picture of that old an old washing machine my grandma used to have in West Virginia. It had the two rollers. Yeah, you know that washing machine? Yep. Love that thing. Just don't get your hand in it, but I loved it. And it showed the picture of this rag doll, and it was halfway in and halfway out of the rollers. And the caption on the poster was, the truth will set you free, but before it does, it will make you miserable. Amen to that. Amen to that. And you see, that's part of the process of life. God loves us so much that he speaks truth to us about ourselves and about what's going on. God loves us so much that he's willing to take us through furnaces in our lives that we might be healed and cleansed and purified. God cares about us so much and wants to be so close to us that he's willing to take us through anything, whatever it means, to bring us close to his heart and closer to relationship in him. Marshall Shelley shares, "Even as a child, I loved to read, and I quickly learned that I would most likely be confused through the opening chapters of a novel. New characters were introduced, subplots were complicated and didn't make sense. But I learned to keep reading because you know that the author, if he or she is good, will weave them together by the end of the book. Eventually, each element will become meaningful. At times, faith has to be a conscious choice, just like that, to be determined to finish out the book. Even when I can't explain why a chromosomal abnormality develops in my son, which prevents him from living on Earth more than 2 minutes. Even when I can't fathom why our daughter has to endure 2 years of severe and profound retardation and continual seizures until she dies, I choose to trust that before the book closes, the author will make all things clear." Who will separate us from the love of Christ, beloved? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I would encourage you this day, wherever you are, whether you're in the valley or on the mountaintop or somewhere in between, wherever you are in the journey, cut this scripture out of your bulletin. Take this bulletin home with you. Cut this scripture out. Put some yellow highlight marker all over it. Put it in your Bible. Put it on the side of your fridge, in your bathroom, wherever you're going to look at it, and memorize this word for you. This needs to become our manifesto. This needs to become our affirmation, our proclamation, that whatever we are going through, whatever is happening in our life, we must be persuaded. We must be convinced that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it is that love. It is that grace. It is that presence that we are running toward. So be encouraged this day. Embrace that truth today. And be attentive. Be attentive to the love and the grace and the strength of the Lord to you in this moment.